Greetings, everyone. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love on August 20th, 2016. And I'd like to set the tone for the show today with a ballad sung by Leslie Love, who I'll be interviewing later in the show.
Just a dead thing you can claim, but I know every rock and tree and creature has a life and a spirit and a name. You think the only people who are people are the people who look and think like you, but if you walk the footsteps of a stranger, you'll learn things you never knew, you never knew. Have you ever heard the wolf cry to the blue corn moon, or ask the grinning bobcat why he grinned? Can you sing with all the voices of the mountain? Can you paint with all the colors of the wind? Can you paint with all the colors of the wind? Go on the hidden pine trails of the forest. Come taste the sun, the sweet berries of the earth. Come roll in all the riches all around you. For once, never wonder what they're worth. The rainstorm and the river are my brothers. The heron and the otter are my friends. And we're all connected to each other in a circle, in a hoop that never ends. Have you ever the wolf cry to the blue corn moon, or let the eagle tell you where he's been? Can you sing with all the voices of the mountain? Can you paint with all the colors of the wind? Can you paint with all the colors of the wind? If you cut it down, you will never know. And you'll never hear the wolf cry to the blue corn. For whether we are white or copper skin, we need to sing with all the voices of the mountain. Need to paint with all the colors of the wind. You can own the earth and still all you'll own is earth until you can paint with all the colors of the
wind. Those who may have just tuned into Cosmic Love, you've been listening to the beautiful voice of Leslie Love of Miami, Florida. And later in the show, we'll be discussing the healing power of energy work through her singing, dancing, different physical therapies that center and connect body, mind, and spirit. And in the meantime, I thought I'd give an update on the global shift to a global golden age on Earth. I've been recently on my blog at heartcom.org. I've published a series of articles on the emerging blueprint for a golden age. And I've been publishing this series now because of the rapid global transformation of all our social, political, and economic institutions, and how this transformation is accelerating with profound revelations for billions of global netizens who get their news over the decentralized internet. It's Global Village now, and the majority of people now getting their news on the internet. But by contrast, you have millions of Americans who live in a media bubble of mass illusion that is programmed by what's virtually unabashed propaganda and the highly centralized corporate media monopoly, except for the internet. What we know is the mainstream media, or what was once the mainstream media in the United States, controls about 95% of the media spectrum, except for the internet, which they want to control to tell us what to think about everything except media. Their own collusion with the larger monopoly of the medical, marketing, military-industrial complex, sometimes called the Matrix or the Cabal, the corporatocracy that's run by the oligarchy of globalist trillionaires and their billionaire sycophants. So that's kind of the bigger picture of Cosmic Love. But most Americans don't think of the internet as the genesis of the global mind of billions of netizens who are connecting with our new instant everywhere and interactive internet capabilities. But this is our net reality. And a new social conscience is emerging in our new global social networks, like Facebook, which has 1.5 billion members worldwide. About 6 months ago, they had 1 billion members worldwide active on the internet at the same time. Off and on, they've got 1.5 billion members worldwide that are networking with a new social conscience than Facebook alone. There's many other social networks that's creating a new social conscience. But in the meantime, we've got this conflict going on, conflicting agendas between the internet, which is decentralized, and you might say from the bottom up, it's everywhere, instant, everywhere, interactive, simul-sensory going on, whereas you've got the broadcast media, which is highly centralized, top-down, programming. They call it programming for a reason, because it's one way. There's no feedback. It's not interactive like the internet. And the media is the message, as Marshall McLuhan said, and that message is that there is a shift in global consciousness as a function of global interactive internet media. So this conflicting agenda is important to understand. A lot of the chaos and confusion we have in the world today is because we're getting mixed messages between mainstream media, corporate media, and the internet media, which is more interactive. People, you know, interacting with people of like interests on the internet and social networks, and getting the straight skinny on the deep doo-doo from a more holistic perspective of, you might say, peers in fields that they can understand and relate to. So the internet wants to liberate the global mind, but corporate media wants to control it. And this is the dynamic. The internet wants neutrality with full spectrum truth, but corporate media wants to tell us what to think. And the internet wants a global upgrade of our five core constitutional freedoms of speech, assembly, petition, et cetera. But the corporatocracy matrix of the military, media, medical, and market monopoly wants to dictate policies for their profit and control. So the internet wants sovereignty, by and for all the people, the global netizens of Earth. But the corporatocracy wants power and control over the human and physical resources of humanity. So this is a global freedom versus tyranny issue, basically. The one agenda is fear-based and stuck in negativity. The other agenda is love-based and positively motivated. Social conscience, culturing social conscience in our global social networks. So the negative agenda sees the problem with the internet that is eroding their power and control, power and control over people, the negative agenda. The positive agenda sees the opportunity for global enlightenment that ends tyranny over the hearts and minds of global humanity. And the family of mankind is thus on the threshold of a global golden age. We're on the cusp of the millennial Aquarian age of freedom and love of a universal cosmic nature. The internet has fulfilled revelations of ancient scripture that prophesied the thinning of the veil of illusion. Knowledge, power, and the global mind has awakened universal sovereign rights in the global public sphere. As global humanity wakes up to the opportunity now, there is a natural wising up and rising up to those first principles of light and love, the universal law and language governing conscious evolutionary ascent, both individually and collectively. This is a global shift in how we all see the world. It's a time of inspiration and upward mobile aspiration to conceive and believe what a golden age can achieve. Above all, keep in mind the prime directive for civilization, remembering that the gold standard for every golden age is the currency of conscience and our global social networks. This currency is the frequency of heart coherence, the Holy Spirit of love and action, and the power of love at the heart of interactive communications in our global social networks. This currency is the TLC factor at the heart of global internet telecommunications. This is the currency for valuation of conscience, not as a commodity of things or people, but rather the principle of common sense in our new internet commons. The number one crisis in the world is a crisis of conscience. Endless terror war for peace is virtually insane. Disease profiteering, now the medical industrial complex for health, is virtually killing us. Mind control propaganda, the monopoly media for news, is making us stupid. And the economics of scarcity running Wall Street has been creating and managing a scarcity of truth, health, peace, and prosperity for the 99% of people on Earth who have had it with terror and tyranny by power elite potentates who are ethical infants. So heaven knows how important it is to focus on an economics of abundance that cultures abundant conscience in our global social networks. Or as Thomas Jefferson said so well, enlighten the people generally and tyranny and oppression of body and mind will vanish like evil spirits at the dawn of day. So here's to a global revolution in higher conscience, with capital C as in see how the gold standard of conscious light and coherent love can culture global freedom at the interactive interface, heart of social conscience, and our ubiquitous social networks. So hold the vision of a golden age with pure intention. It's this pure intention that focuses attention for love's retention at the heart of a golden age. And hold fast to this gold standard in good conscience. And see the opportunity for a beautiful world emerging that it's up to us to create beautiful new society with beautiful works of art and music, communication tools and processes for culturing mass interactions through social networking with enlightened social conscience in our new instant everywhere interactive global village. Now, this shift to a global golden age with forward thinking in this regard is a challenge for the status quo mindset that resists and resents any change from the same old paradigm paralysis that does what it has always done to create war and disease for profit. We're seeing the end of that. But then, you know, those old momentums do what they've always done because they don't know what else to do. It's changing, but it's like a flywheel that's been turning. Flywheel on a power system that's been turning, and the power's been turned off, but the flywheel continues to turn, and it's losing the old momentums or losing power. But we're still seeing paradigm paralysis in this regard, And, but in the meantime, there's a new global mind, global conscience emerging on Earth. And this mind needs a heart just as surely as the family of mankind wants kindness as the mem and method to our happiness. So global humanity has a big choice. We can look around and see what's wrong with a lot of analytical cussing and discussing and why things went wrong or how they've gotten worse or what dire things will come if things keep getting worse according to this negative way of seeing things. Or we can predict the future by creating it, seeing extraordinary capabilities of new technologies for liberating an unprecedented abundance of TLC with telecommunications, telecommunity, teleconscience, telecare, telecommerce, emphasizing the THC and TLC in each of those words. And such a global TLC culture could go mainstream worldwide very quickly with current internet capabilities, which is these capabilities are happening very quickly with the Instant Everywhere Interactive Internet and in the Emerging Blueprint series at heartcom.org. I explain how the universal language of light and love can define, refine, combine, and shine our creative gifts and talents for culturing a golden age on Earth. It's not rocket science. It's quantum reality, whereby the way we look at the future is the way we create it. So we're in a process, a cycle of creating extraordinary abundance on Earth. Our new net reality with billions of netizens worldwide is now aware of a systemic shift from Western dominant geopolitics to a more nonlinear right brain model that represents more heart with rise of the divine feminine in principle and cooperative processes. So in the spirit of the divine feminine, I'd like to introduce Leslie Love, who began the show today with her beautiful ballad. Leslie Love is a classically trained singer born and raised in Miami, Florida. She began private lessons in her teens, studied and performed throughout college, and graduated from the music school at the University of Miami. She trained in classical Broadway, jazz, pop, love, sacred music that speaks to her heart. And thank you, Leslie, for being with us on Cosmic Love today.
Thank you so much, Christopher, for having me. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Well, I've had fun listening to some of your different songs, and that one ballad that you sing is just so beautiful. It just that's the one that speaks to my heart. So I thought we'd begin with that. And I know that some of your history, what an amazing history you have integrating the performing arts with the healing arts, and you've had quite a journey in that regard. So I thought we'd begin by asking about that journey with your dancing, singing, physical therapies you've worked with, and your evolution with this combination of performing arts with healing arts.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, it's kind of interesting now being older and looking back at the path that I chose in this lifetime to see how it all fits together. And I was introduced early on to all of the arts thanks to my mom, Sandy. Tap, jazz, ballet, gymnastics, and music. I had a gift early on, and my parents invited me or searched out ways for me to have private voice lessons, and so I started studying probably around the age of 12, 13, my parents wanted me to be a cantor or an opera singer. And I studied, a little bit of all of that. And I felt, God, I'm really not resonating with that. And I was like a sponge in high school and very smart, kind of geeky with the frizzy hair and the braces. And I loved chorus. That was like one of my favorite classes. And I also excelled in humanities and languages. I had studied 11 years of different foreign languages, starting with Latin, and then Spanish, French, and German, and the humanities. Those were my favorite classes. And So when I graduated from high school, I went to a college for languages and linguistics because that seemed to be what my forte was. And so I went to Georgetown University for 2 years as a linguistics major.
Wow.
And And I was one of five in that program. There were five freshmen that year with linguistics majors, which was really fascinating. And the interesting thing was my linguistics professors were like so boring. They like didn't connect. I had one teacher who like spoke into the corners of the room. He didn't even make eye contact. And he spoke in a very monotone voice. And I was so bored. I was like, dude, this is about language, connecting with people. And so I was drawn to music. I did music and theater there. I was in a class, and it always worked out that my teachers, wherever I studied music in school, invited me to be in one of their other productions outside of school.
Uh-huh.
So the theater class where I was at university at Georgetown, I got to perform at the Kennedy Center for Christmas for a production of A Mall and the Night Visitors, which was a highlight. And I was also a member of the all-women's a cappella group called the Grace Notes. And that was so awesome. Yeah, that was so cool, because I remember in high school when the guys would come from all the different universities, I was just so in awe of that. I loved it so much. It would light me up so much.
The a cappella singing.
Yeah, the a cappella groups. And it was mostly male groups that came through my high school, Palmer. And when I was at Georgetown, I got to meet women's groups, because I remember the Stanford group came, and that was so awesome, the California Consciousness and the girls from Stanford. We really connected and had an awesome time. And after my second year there, I just, you know, being a Miami native, the winter time, and I don't know, it just didn't feel right for me. What I connected into there was Spanish, and I learned Italian while I was there. So I was looking for that passion, that fire, that connection with people. That's what I love, is connecting with people and learning about other cultures. And, you know, ultimately, like the song, we're all connected. We just have different colored skin. We all have the same colored blood. You know, the soul is ultimately of the one life force, expressed in all these different costumes, and we each have our different paths. And so I see people as character studies, and I'm fascinated by how they're put together from their story and experience.
Yeah.
And so I remember I was also in an Italian play while I was there. I'm remembering that right now. And then I just said, you know what? I want to go back to the University of Miami and study my passion, which is music. I still studied private voice while I was up there at Georgetown. And I said, you know what? I just want to go for it. And I transferred back to the University of Miami. And I kind of have never really fit into the system, because I wound up like, you know, they want to put you in a chain or a focus. So it was either you pick classical, you either pick the jazz track, or you pick the musical theater. And I wound up doing one of each track.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. I mean, I love the best of the different forms. You know, each of them have their own respective strengths. And yeah, I can appreciate
and beauty.
That.
I mean, why would you just want to focus on one? I remember saying to one of the professors, I said, but I can sing them all and I love them all. Why do I have to pick one? I don't want to pick one. And so, you know, but I could see the politics in the system. I learned very early on in the system that it really took the heart and the spirit of connection and learning out of your process.
Yeah, academia is so left brain. The right brain, holistic, integrated, integral, you know, Holy Spirit is lacking in academia.
totally. But when you're young, you're and I was so optimistic. I'm a Sag. I see the good. I'm very optimistic. And so, you know, when you're in those situations, you don't quite catch it right away until after you've had your experience. And then you look back and you go, oh, so that's what happened.
Yeah,
and so, you know, there were so many experiences where I saw, you know, even after that, I was there for 3 years, and then I did you know, the Burt Reynolds, my teacher the last year, I finally met Carolyn Stanford, and she looked at me, she goes, "Where have you been? You're a triple threat. You sing, you dance, you act, you speak all these languages. I love you." And I said, "Oh my God, Carolyn, I love you." And she said, "You have to audition for this theater training apprentice program in Jupiter, Florida that Burt Reynolds runs." And, you know, we prepared for that, and I auditioned for that, and I got accepted. And, you know, I spent a year in Jupiter, Florida. And again, I saw while I was there that it wasn't about the talent that got the roles. It was very political. And when I got out of that, when I finished and I got my degree, you know, the really cool thing about Spirit, I feel so blessed that I'm so connected to Source. And that, when I came back from Jupiter, you know, I had one of my first big synchronicity experiences. My mom was a massage therapist at the time. Maybe she was teaching at that point. And I decided to go to massage school to be able to support myself and my love of music. And while I was in my massage course, I had to take a science course that I didn't have to take in my first 2 years at Georgetown. And I wanted to take it at FIU. And I took this class called Environmental Geology. And as we were learning the Earth's body, the different elements, the water element, you know, all the rivers and eddies and streams and oceans, I was studying about the water element in the human body in my massage school. Yeah. And they paralleled, and I had this synchronicity, and I went, "Oh my God, you know, as above, so below, as within, so without, the earth is my body." And then I discovered, and I was attracted in and directed to find a woman who hosted a goddess circle that was all about singing these chants. And of course, there's the one chant, earth, my body, water, my blood, air, my breath, and fire, my spirit. And
did you allow any men in the group?
Yes, there was one guy in our group that I remember.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be a... I wouldn't want it to be a sexist, feminist, divine goddess group.
Yeah, no. There was a guy who was part. It was a small group, and I remember what she did. Jana Newton, thank you for listening. We're still Facebook friends. She made a couple of CDs for me that, you know, that was when I discovered sacred music. I had studied and I had, you know, sung in churches and temples, and that didn't speak to my heart so much as the sacred music from the goddess chants, which is more pagan, Native American, universal unity consciousness that would honor spirit, source, creator, the divine law in all of its forms is what I
you know, I love music like that. I have identical twin sisters who are singers out in Seattle. They once sang the Seattle Seahawks Star Spangled Banner, but they've done a CD, and one of them is just like native rhythms and chants. That was one of the most popular drive time songs, you know, in the Seattle the highways after work there for about a year. This was about 15 years ago, but that whole thing of the native rhythms, you know, in the nature spirit and Kara Johnstad was on my last show. She's a singer, and we talked about Franciscan sisters that will chant and, you know, and do the resonance and the frequency chanting that brings up this energy, you know, raises the energy from, you might say, from bass to crown, from the lower octaves to the higher octaves. And I think that voice work is very therapeutic. I mean, when I say therapeutic, I think of sound healing.
Sure.
And dance healing. I know you've done tap, ballet, jazz, ballroom dancing, and other forms of dancing. That the body works with the voice and with the body. What's one of my favorite things of country two-step swing dancing, and I used to just do a lot of twirling when I was a competition figure skater. I was like fire on ice in my teenage years, and that spinning, you know, is like the twirling dervish You have to be centered and connected, especially on ice, because the ice is hard if you fall on it. But there's this thing about spinning really fast, or in country two-step swing dancing, it's the same thing. You know, you're spinning and you take, you know, you wind girls up and set them for a spin, you know, with swing dancing, you know how that works. Swing dancing is a blast, and it's like being centered and connected and have that energy and motion. It's like emotion, energy and motion. And I think it's really cool that you've done that. But you've got into, what is it, aerobics and aqua therapy, aqua aerobics? Did that evolve out of your...
I think, like, the second job I ever had, my first job was in a metaphysical bookstore. That was my first job. I was always drawn, I've always been drawn to the metaphysics.
Wow, that would have been a cool job.
My God, that was so cool. It was a little creepy because I think the owners were kind of had some bad energy around them, a little bit.
Occult dark stuff.
occult dark energy, but it was just so cool to have access to all the books and the crystals and, you know, to be tapped in astrology to all of that at an early age. And then I think I went into aerobics. And then from aerobics, I went into aqua aerobics. It's still my favorite place to work out. I now do yoga. I do a Tai Chi blend with yoga and
in the water
exercise. Yeah, in the water. And I let my body unwind and stretch. And, you know, I have a hard time going to yoga classes now when there's a strict, you know, hold the pose only for 2 seconds, or sometimes when it's somebody else's routine. I really like to listen for my body from the inside out. I noticed you shared that in one of your other lectures. I was listening to your podcast earlier today. I've always been guided from the inside out because that's where the wisdom is. It's on the inner. And so, to this day, from, I go into the pool and that's my place for meditation and stretching and yoga and exercise.
That's what I do. Being buoyant in the water, there's this thing about the buoyancy. And we have Chico Hot Springs just a few miles from here. And even through the winter, when it's 20 below, you know, be a nice fog bank on the pool.
Sure.
You know, it's open, but it's very comfortable. You can float, but I developed a system of water yoga when I was a beach photographer in Daytona Beach years ago, decades ago. But I still do that where, you know, I twirl in the water. I have like a yoga breathing. It's up and down, and I use my hands as ailerons. And right at the base of the spine, I do a pivot. Which is the upper and lower body. And because you're buoyant in the water, you can really exercise, you know, the lower vertebrae. You know, it's therapeutic.
Yeah.
It's not like jogging or anything where there's the gravity tension. It's the buoyancy. And I can get into, like, the twirling dervish thing in the water. Can I close my eyes and do the up and down and, and as I'm going around, because I'm going around with, you know, this base of the spine, I call it water yoga, but it's so I'm pivoting in the water and twirling. It's very effortless, and what's happening with the rhythmic breath, I can get in an altered state of consciousness in a couple minutes doing this, and I can direct my energy, my consciousness to any part of my body where there's a blockage or something that's going on in an organ system, or, you know, some tension in the body. And because you're so fluid and you're so flexible and you're so buoyant, you can just feel. Now, you and of course, water is the emotional body, but you can feel where there's blockages. And I've evolved this over the years, and I've determined in this film I'm working on now, I'm going to have some segments where I get one of those body cameras, you know, that are underwater, and get some underwater shots of this syncopated to music in a meditation, like do a music video part of it. But the film is largely about conscious evolution, and this whole thing of a wholly different way and a way of looking at and thinking of exercise in water that, you know, with closed eyes, and it's like you can do it on your own, and you can direct your energy and recalibrate your energy and recalibrate where there's physical blocks or tensions in the body.
Totally.
So cool that you're doing that aqua aerobics. You found that also.
That is so cool that you know about that. Well, no, it actually moved into from aqua aerobics. Like I started teaching aqua aerobics, and my mom started exploring massage in the pool, and we started exploring that together, and then we developed our own massage modality that's all about creating movement on all levels, body, mind, and spirit, and teaching classes. We're CEU providers for teaching classes about this to massage therapists. And so you're absolutely right. You can, you know, water slows everything down. Totally, you can recalibrate yourself, direct your energy. What you notice in a liquid environment is what is stuck, because water by nature is buoyant and moving. And so it slows things down, but it also amplifies energy. And, you know, WATSU is one version of aquatic body work that has a system. We basically have said, let's do everything from micro to macro in the water, and created buoyancy noodles that separate the knees and the head so that everything, you can be like a Raggedy Ann doll in the pool. And I taught classes where you can exercise with them. So there's active exercise, and then there's passive receptive, either just floating in the pool, and then receiving body work from craniosacral to really deep stretching. Some of the fun stuff is when you get two people and you start, you know, throwing people around in the pool, and you get the momentum going that your own body is resisting you in certain positions that can take you deeper into a stretch. So you can do like full on out fun. It would be fun to do it with you, Chris.
You know, you're talking about, you know, the cranial and the different types of therapy you use. Now, you know, in my second holistic health clinic, I did reflexology as well as the iridology, and in the pool, I do clients in the pool a lot still, and friends, you know, it's just I just do work their feet, and I'm a foot man, you know.
Cool.
And there's a thing about, of course, you know, when I did the iridology, I mean, I can look into people's eyes in the pool, and I can see where there's blockages, and I can then use the feet and do the reflexing, and I can say, does, you know, where I can see a blockage in the eye, the corresponding organ system, you know, there's a spot on the foot, and I can gently press on it and see if that, you know, if there's a, you know, a corresponding, you know, tension there. And I mean, it's not that I do diagnosis or anything like that. It's just that you can tune into the health conditions in the body in amazing ways in the pool, because, you know, with the sunlight, you've got, you know, really good look at the eyes, and of course people are relaxing in the water, you know, and so that it's almost like, you know, wherever there is tension, and
it's a womb-like environment. It's going back to the mother, to being held by the ocean, by the water, by the womb. You know, we would work in such a way that you can press on that point and create a wave. The reason we have the word movement, multidimensional movement arts, it's because it's the art of using movement in the medium of water to create dynamic balance. And so you can press doing the reflexology, but if you're not doing any movement besides the application where your hands are, you're missing out on some other layers of and depth that you can be adding to what it is that you're doing. And so it becomes even more powerful when you use the medium of the water to work with the modalities that you're doing.
I believe
that. It's like when you're done with that session, you know, we would always say that, you know, the therapist gets the session too, because everybody is just so blissed out when you're done, because you've been floating in the water and being moved around like, you know, it's effortless and it's fun and it's relaxing. And wonderful when your eyes are covered, and so there's sensory deprivation, and then there's places where they can also infuse frequency. So you and I know that the fundamental, you know, paradigm here is that everything is energy. And so what is the energy that we're transmitting? You know, what are we sending and receiving at all times, and how are we calibrating ourselves? What are we holding on to that serves us versus what doesn't serve us? How am I programming myself by what I'm choosing to focus on? Attention, intention, and frequency. And so, you know, the pool really also allows an amazing place for that to be enhanced because it's so electric and it's a transducer of
it's
energy.
It's a transducer, and water holds frequency. And there is a frequency in different waters. Of course, Chico Hot Springs, they empty and fill the pool daily, and it's got a very high colloidal silver content because there's silver mines up in that area.
And so
it has a natural antimicrobial effect. They put no chlorine into it, and it's always warm. It's below body temperature. They've got a hot pool, of course. But it's so much more relaxing being in a kind of a warmish pool that's really fresh and clean. And you know, and it's just, you know, there's not the tension so much when it's not cold. But even in, like I say, 20 degrees below zero in the winter, there'll be, you know, a lot of people, that's their favorite time to come out. You know, because the cabin fever in the winter here is a long time here in the mountains.
Yeah, I used to love Harbin Hot Springs. I mean, I still love Harbin Hot Springs, but they suffered on the Shemitah last year, believe it or not, the first day of the Shemitah. I totally freaked out. There was a huge fire that literally burned it to the ground.
Wow.
And it's going to be a couple of years for them to come back, but I used to, you know, make a trip out there as often as I could to take advantage of the, you know, warm pool. You know, the pools, the sacred pools there, they're also mineral pools. This is just north of Calistoga in Middletown in California. It's a place that I love to go to. So naturist, also the home of some aquatic body work, Watsu mainly. And it's also the Heart Consciousness Church, or the Church of Heart Consciousness. So there's a nice community of people that would come there for personal growth and development and all different kinds of, you know, classes and yoga. And, you know, I love how there's like, you know, no cell phones and people are quiet in the pool. So it's meditative.
And the people here at Chico, you know, we're right on the edge of Yellowstone Park, so people come from all over the world because they're coming to the park, and it's right on the edge of, and it's quite famous, you know, for the mineral hot springs. And I'm a fiery person, and there's a thing about fire and water, as I said, when I'm hot, I'm hot. I'm really hot.
It's
therapeutic. And of course, I had this thing for years where I was like an alpha male in orbit, you know, really intense. And I mean, it was hard on relationships. I mean, even when I was a teenager, I couldn't do pairs dancing with women because I had just too much fire. I, you know, on the ice, are you kidding me? So when I got into the water therapy thing and right on through, and as I got into cooling my jets a little bit, you know, it took a few years after I went through tester pause, you know. but you know, I mean, it took all of that, and I got into country two-step swing dancing, and it's my favorite thing, you know, with partner dancing. But I mean, I don't learn fast, but I learn good, so I took taking classes and just, you know, watching and working at it for years. Now it's one of my favorite things as far as, you know, you go soak first at Chico, and then you go in and dance like a wild man. You don't pull any muscles if you soak first.
That's right. Or after.
You know,
most people, they stress their bodies, or, you know, there's so much in the rat race, 9 to 5, more money, you know, caught in the propaganda paradigm, that they don't balance the expansion with the contraction in their
lives. And they get compressed sitting in a chair all the time, and they don't get out, they don't stretch. And stretching in the water while you're floating is wonderful. I got enough body fat, now I float like a cork. I used to be such a hard body, you know, I'd sink right to the bottom, but, you know, I just...
Yeah.
You know, I'm not the hard body I used to be, what can I say?
But anyway... Oh, that's so funny, but...
You're
reminding me how I used to, like, all the years. So, yeah, from aquarubics to all different healing arts modalities. As soon as I went into massage school, it was a sponge soaking up any healing arts modality that I could. And, of course, my mom being a teacher and a mentor and a guide who would, you know, want to practice everything she was learning on me, you know. And then we both started doing aquatic body work together. And that is just, you know, it's so funny because it'd be like, oh, my God, I had this guy in the water today, and he was, like, stiff as a board. And I'd try to, like, move his arm and his whole body, and he was, like, you know, 500 pounds in the water. It's so true. And people are so unaware of how they're holding patterns. You know, they're like, really? I was really that stiff? I didn't feel that stiff. I'm like, oh, my God, you were so stiff. I would be educating people about the lifestyle choices that they could change, you know, do differently to not create the, you know, the body is like clay. And so, you know, we become the patterns in which we use, you know, how we're using our bodies. And so I would be constantly giving, you know, advice about, you know, do this for your body to oppose what's creating this. And, you know, it was just, it's so interesting to see how few people would really make the change unless they were really suffering deeply. And, you know, for me, that
was sad. It's the same with the mind as the body, repetitive stress syndrome. People that repetitively negative and rationalize and justify their negativity with more negativity, that habit pattern, you know, creates basically a depression in the spirit. And a lot of people have, you know, this thing of this depression that, you know, subclinical, if not, you know, overt depression, not just, you know, physically, but, I mean, emotionally and spiritually, and the repetitive stress of, you know, doing what you've always done with resentment or, you know, below the surface having, you know, a negative feeling about what you're doing. Not loving what you're doing. My attitude is if you're going to do something, you know, love it.
Yes.
I tell people I retired a long time ago. I just do what I love. pretty much.
Yeah.
You know?
Because,
you know, and it says, you know, I can see myself doing Cosmic Love and working with the Trinfinity 8, which is, you know, the healing frequencies and different, you know, holistic healing things. I mean, I'm enjoying it so much, and I, you know, work with people all over the world, not just with the Trinfinity 8, and the talk show, and of course, some of the people who are listening know, but the Trinfinity 8 is quantum healing technology, and now, you know, I worked with that technology since 1981, and you worked with biofeedback technology over the years. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so energy work is a, you know, multi-dimensional thing, frequency work. And I sometimes like to think of that I'm creating a Keepers of the Frequency, KOF, KOF organization, you know, with the energies of the divine feminine, you know, the principles of the divine feminine, of heart coherence and cosmic love, you know, the name of my show, Cosmic Love, that it's all basically, you know, you're either a KOF or you're not. You're a keeper of the frequency. I know you've done so much of your work has been amazing on the level of physical therapies and of course emotional therapy. Singing to me is very therapeutic, and this is what I talked about with Kara Johnstad, who was on the show. She does music therapy. She goes all over the world, and she does it sometimes you know, over the internet, you know, with a good internet connection. And I know you've got a lot of different modalities and disciplines, you know, in your resume, you know, that you have, and you have a website of this. How would people find that and kind of tune into what you're doing? I know you're kind of the go-to girl for different conventions and different events where they want to have a body works massage therapist that you fly out for these sometimes. And could you talk a little bit about that and how you work with some different event planners with your services?
I'm in Miami, Florida, so that's where people can find me now. My current website, what I transitioned into was embodying for me in my personal journey of awakening and raising my consciousness and vibrational field. I moved into Tantra and sacred sexuality and doing tantric body work. And so now where people can find me, my current website is MiamiTantraGoddess.com. I will be putting out another website soon, hopefully in the next couple months, called LeslieLove.com. And people can find me on Facebook or on SoundCloud, Leslie Love. And, you know, whenever I travel, I post my locations and my dates on the Tantra Goddess website. And so people can contact me there through my email address. And they can also look on the travel page to see where I'm going to be. And that's really the best way to reach me. So I tend to travel a lot out to California, just because I love it so much out there. And Florida, definitely in the wintertime, or a warm place in the wintertime. I'm a Miami native, and I like to see my skin, and I like to be warm over being cold. So that's kind of my current hibernation pattern or travel pattern, and how people can find me. You know, the divine feminine, the rise of the divine feminine, for me, what occurred was my own sensual awakening, and I chose to, you know, as a Sagittarius with that arrow aiming high, uh-huh. and being committed to learning and growing and evolving, and you know, manifesting my highest potential, that was embodying the divine feminine principle and energies. And so what I teach now, what I practice, I'm human too, folks. So, you know, hey, I'm not always 100% emanating, you know, love and compassion, but for the most part, I really try, and I do. And so this is what I'm teaching now, which is that human potential, accessing, understanding that your body is in a channel of energy, and connecting with that in a way that also awakens your consciousness, the evolution of your consciousness, and the embodiment of your divinity. Uh-huh. And loving yourself on all levels. And so, you know, I think the divine feminine, the rise of the divine feminine, as you wrote about recently, is really important, because that is the balance to, you know, the patriarchal systems that are crumbling right now. We need more of that heart coherence. I'm going to go look up that app that you mentioned, the heart ring, because I learned like one time when I was at Harvard, somebody handed me this book called Nonviolent Communication by Marshall Rosenberg, and I just sucked that down and started practicing that right away. And someone explained to me, it's the language of the heart. Yeah. And I learned over the years that if someone is not there yet, if they're not coming from their heart chakra, they don't get this language. No matter how much you explain
That's
it to
true.
Them.
There's no mind congruence without heart coherence.
Yes.
That's the way it works.
Yes. And
mind congruence
requires
heart coherence.
Yes, and so this is what we're teaching. This is where you and I are aligned, because that's where it is.
And light language.
It's embodying and channeling the divine feminine to model that, and, you know, and infuse people with an experience of that, so that they can, if they're ready to wake up to that frequency, it's available to them.
Yeah,
and
I kind of come at it from the left brain more so, you know, and I call it, instead of Tantra, I call it Yantra. Yantra are visual thought forms like mandalas used in the East for thousands of years. So I use that mandalic thought form, you know, the E in the love model, the square with a cross, the circle. It's like a mandalic thought form, and the geometry of divinity. And so I do Yantra yoga.
Love it.
And it's the same with you. You're working with, you know, the language of the language of light, consciousness, the language of love, coherence. Again, it is a frequency, and it's a universal language. And
yeah.
And I'm so glad I had you on the show today. We're going to have to do a wrap. But Leslie, I should add that if those who are listening, if you're on Facebook, I highly recommend that you befriend Leslie Love to get a regular dose of some of the most loving infographics that you'll find on the Internet. They're phenomenal.
Aww,
she's got the best infographics on love, all kinds of great stuff, almost every day. So, anyway, Leslie, thanks for being on the show, and let's keep in touch, and we'll have to book you out to Chico Hot Springs here before too long.
I would love it. Thank you so much, Chris, for having me. It was awesome.
You're welcome. And everyone listening, thanks for listening. Keep the faith. See the good. Make it so. Always
make
love,
so.
Always, until we meet again. Bye for now.
May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.